it's an important, significant, and also, let me say, an uplifting day in humanity's fight against the coronavirus today as we record this episode of Cut the Clutter. Because a new vaccine has been approved, the Oxford University AstraZeneca vaccine. This is much more of a breakthrough than the messenger RNA vaccines already approved for several reasons. This is much cheaper than those. This maintaining this, transporting this, keeping this is much easier because the challenges of very high degree of refrigeration are not there. Also, it is more possible to produce this in mass numbers. And finally, most important, this is one of those vaccines for which India is truly the factory of the world, the vaccine factory of the world, because an Indian company, Serum Institute of India, actually is already has nearly 5 crore of these vaccines ready, and they can produce 10 crores per month, they say, by February. So this is a big breakthrough in the fight against COVID. Now, as we talk about this, let me give you a little perspective. And it's the Cut the Clutter perspective. Cut the Clutter now is broadcast 5 days a week, except Saturday and Sundays. Saturdays, we give you National Interest on camera. Sundays, I take off now. But until about a month back, we had Cut the Clutter coming out on Sundays as well. One of the reasons for that was that this was a particularly crisis-ridden year. And one of the biggest crises this year was this pandemic crisis. There was also the Chinese and the rest and the economy being on the downturn. But behind a lot of that was the pandemic. So a lot of our episodes of Cut the Clutter this year, particularly after January, say from February onwards, have been about coronavirus. So in that series, this is the last of the year. And I am happy that our last coronavirus Cut the Clutter of the year is beginning and ending on a happy note. On a happy note, also a cautionary note, because caution is always good. Savdhani hati, durghatna ghati. So, you know about this vaccine. I know all of you are experts on the vaccine. But as we talk about the vaccine, it's also time to talk about, to discuss another very significant and curious point. It's curious and significant, and mercifully, it works in our favor, in the favor of India, in the favor of countries like India, or in the favor of poor countries. Because I don't know if viruses also have a sense of justice, or nasty pieces of work like coronavirus, really mean viruses also have a sense of justice, or they have a sense of irony. Don't ask me, because I can't explain that. But the fact is, and if you see our first chart today, it's a dumb chart. It's not giving you any meanings, it's just giving you numbers. No interpretation there. If you see this chart, you will see that which are the countries with the highest fatality rate for coronavirus infections. Fatality we calculate in terms of not how many total number of people killed, but total number of people as a proportion of the population. So the metric that's used globally now is deaths per million. So if a country has this many people, how many in every million have died? So if you see this, it is quite evident, even in a dumb graphic, even to the naked eye, or even with glasses or without glasses, it's quite evident that richer countries have much higher fatality rates from coronavirus, much higher. So much higher that today, as I speak with you, confirmed deaths from coronavirus across the world are 18 lakhs. So we are discounting for the fact that nobody quite knows the numbers in China, but confirmed figures for the entire world is 18 lakhs, 1.8 million. If you look at that figure, 70% of that, of those deaths, have taken place in richer, high quality of life countries. 70%, whereas nearly 70% of human beings live in countries that are on the poorer side. So that tells you that the richer countries are seeing more people die. Now, why is that happening? It's one of the most fascinating and curious facets of COVID-19 pandemic. Because you remember when the pandemic started, everybody said this will be the end of poorer countries. Remember, and there was evidence for that. People knew that the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918, many more people died in poorer countries. 5% population of India died then. In fact, we've said this before, but I'll repeat it. Between 1911 and 1921 was the first decennial census in India's history where India's population actually went down, because there were the pandemic deaths, the biggest role they played. Then there was the First World War and there were other epidemics. India was not, India's health system was not that good then, and India was a very poor country. But it was the only decade in India's history of decennial censuses that India's population came down. So people had the same visions that there will be streets filled with bodies, there will be drains filled with bodies, there will be nobody available, not just in India, in countries like India, to pick up those bodies. And these countries will go, there will be bodies in wheelbarrows everywhere. And that's how a lot of the coverage of this, looking ahead, particularly in international media, I don't like to say Western media, in international media also looked at that. And when that did not happen, then there was a lot of wonderment, but there was also conjecturing that, oh, people must be dying. So it is certainly that government is hiding the deaths. There were some deaths being missed, as we found out in some of our stories, but those were in two figures. And sometimes you see, if you see the India's fatality graphic, you'll find two points on which suddenly it goes up. So early on in the pandemic, one day, nearly 2,000 were added. That is when Delhi, Mumbai, Chennai, they did their fresh audits and rediscovered deaths which had not been attributed to COVID earlier. And later there was one more like that, and you see again a spike of about 1,000. So even if you think that 20% got missed, 30% got missed, 50% got missed, even if half the deaths got missed, even then India is way down in its share of global fatalities. Now, you want to say that, oh, because I am Indian, I am letting my patriotism, nationalism, bias overshadow my judgment. So look at our neighboring countries. Look at a country that we don't particularly feel very enthusiastic about generally in our country, Pakistan. Pakistan's fatality rate is even less than India's. Now, you might say Pakistan's fixing it. So even if they are fixing it, they can't be fixing any more than you say India might be, or maybe not much more, maybe a little bit more, all right. Pakistan, for the sake of an argument, has to be worse than us. But then look at Bangladesh, look at Indonesia, look at many of these countries. They all have fatality rates per million in either two figures or just over 100. So two figures, Pakistan 45, Bangladesh 46, Indonesia, big country, 80, India 107, right? Whereas if you go to countries like, say, Belgium, 1667, that is as of yesterday. So by the time you are watching this, maybe it will be 1800. Belgium's fatality rate, therefore, is about 16 times India's. And listen to me again. Belgium's fatality rate per million is about 16 times India's. But Belgium's per capita GDP is more than a 16 times India's. Please look at the comparisons on the screen. So what is this nonsense? How can there be a positive correlation between COVID fatalities and a country's per capita GDP? You would have thought richer countries, better medical care, better health conditions, etc. People will do better, but it is not happening. Now, one thing we know for sure, and that is something that can't be disputed, which anybody can understand. You don't have to be an expert. And that is the reality of demographics in terms of age. So younger the country, less likely are its people to die of COVID, because COVID, the proportion of people above 60 who COVID takes down or above 65 is dramatically higher than for younger people. So look at UK, for example, fatality rate of 1100 per million, almost 11 times higher than India's, and going up right now. When touch wood, mercifully, pray to any god you choose, India's fatality rate at this point is declining. Then you see other much richer countries, again, per capita GDP in the same ballpark of about, say, anything between 15 to 30 times India's, right? And look at those countries, their fatality rates are anywhere between 10 to 15 times India's on a per million basis. So we told you Belgium is nearly 1800 now. There are also smaller countries, but very rich countries. San Marino, tiny country. Most people remember San Marino for these beautiful stamps it used to produce. Now stamp collection is not such a hot hobby. It used to be in my times, but San Marino produced the best. So San Marino, the rich and the retirees, important. The rich retirees of the world go and live there. So their fatality rate is almost 1900 per million. The highest in the world, because they are super rich, but they are also super old and super retired. And then you have Italy, nearly 1250. Bulgaria, 1100. Former East Europe, still 1100. US, nearly 1100. UK, nearly 1100. So one thing we know for sure is that richer countries tend to have older people, because richer countries have higher human development indices. As you have higher human development indices, then your maternal mortality goes down, your infant mortality goes down, your people marry late, they produce fewer children. So these populations are not growing. Either they're not growing or growing very slowly. And in some cases, these populations are even declining. So your average population or mean age is getting older. So once again, the easiest reference is Italy 48, India 28, Pakistan 23. So that is one straight explanation for why these countries, poorer countries, have fewer deaths. So poorer countries also have fewer old people. They also have lower life expectancy than richer countries, where it's now going into mid 80s. In India now it's about 72 or 73. In Pakistan, it's about 68, 69. So you can see that older the population in general, the higher the number of deaths. Now that apart, are there other reasons? And as we look for other reasons, we come to a paper. And it's a paper that's going to be published next month, in January, in Current Science. It's a journal called Current Science. It will be published there. Now this is a paper by three renowned experts, and the names are listed as is the convention in alphabetical order, not the order of seniority. So there is Bithika Chatterjee from NCCS, National Center for Cell Sciences in Pune. Then there is Rajiv Karandikar, who is also an academic at Chennai Math Institute, because this paper, this research is based on data and mathematical analysis. And then there is Dr. Shekhar Mande, who is the Director General of Council of Scientific and Industrial Research in India, CSIR, which is the apex body controlling 37 of India's foremost labs. So in some ways, he's like the DG CSIR is like the chief scientist of India. This is the position that in the past people like Dr. R.N. Mashelkar have held. Now he is also the primary author of this paper. Now, what has this paper done? This paper has taken data from all the countries of deaths, GDP, and many other issues, which they've taken from UNICEF or WHO, etc., on their human development indicators, sanitation levels, etc., and they've come up with a bunch of findings. So, one, it's quite clear where the proportional ratios are, which means, as we told you, richer the country, higher the number of deaths. So when we say positive in this analysis, it means a bad thing. Negative is a good thing. So positive correlation means higher the income levels, higher the number of deaths. Negative means lower the income levels, lower the number of deaths. So they've tried to see the reasons for this beyond average age. So they say, first of all, that there is a negative relationship between the history of communicable diseases and fatalities from coronavirus, because history of communicable diseases also comes along with a history of poorer hygiene. Whereas where you have improved hygiene, you find that in those societies or those countries which are richer, so improved hygiene, autoimmune disorders are more common. Now, autoimmune disorders can be anything from type 1 diabetes to rheumatoid arthritis to multiple sclerosis to psoriasis. So it can be many things. Now, we know, and that is what these researchers explain, that what kills you is not the virus. What kills you is hyperimmune reaction of our bodies to the virus. Now, the less familiar our body's immune systems are with invaders, the more likely they are to get alarmed or panicked into a hyperreaction, which means if you've been exposed to infections in the past, possibly it's a bit like if you've seen, say, a lot of burglary in your house, in your neighborhood, in your colony, in your building, you are a lot more alerted. So chances are that next time a burglar or a robber comes in, you would have put your lights and cameras and your security guards and informed the local police station, who might have put cameras on your street also. The chances are that the burglar will be caught much before he or she can do any major damage. Whereas if you've lived in total security for decades and your system has become lazy, jisko hum bolte hain Ram Raj hai, aap tala lagaye bina ghar ko ja sakte hain, you don't even have to lock your doors. Then if somebody gets in, then you get startled and then you might have robbers roaming around your house and you wake up and you confront them and then you find that they might be carrying a weapon. So you then are exposed to more risk if you are not used to this these infiltrations in the past. That is precisely what happens with these infections. If our bodies are used to infections in the past, then these researchers say that we have trained immunities, which means our immune system has been trained to recognize various things, to fight. It doesn't go nuts the next time it sees any new invader. And that is why probably societies which have trained immunities have lesser fatalities. Societies that are poorer have trained immunities. Societies that are poorer also have poorer hygiene, and the opposite applies to richer societies. So that leads to this counterintuitive finding in this research, that there is a negative relationship. I told you negative is good here. There is a negative relationship with the history of poorer hygiene and communicable disease and fatalities from coronavirus. Now, when this story came out first, everybody said, "Ye pagalpan hai, madness hai. This is too provocative." That means aap idhar udhar jaake haath bhi nahi do. Everybody is telling you to wash your hands, and these guys are saying less hygiene means fewer of you will die. So they are very careful to say that we are not recommending that is the way forward. All we are saying is that maybe there is a solution to dealing with this or pandemics like this going ahead by training human immunity. And maybe you can do that either by exposing the body to some bacteria, some parasites, etc., etc., in a clinically trained, clinically decided method. So this research has taken parameters like cleanliness parameters, washing facilities, open defecation, sanitation, everything. Now, once again, this is not to say the dirtier you are, the less likely you are to die. This is to say that the more trained your immune system is, the less likely it is to overreact or hyperreact to a strange new virus that your body is not familiar with. Then there are further presumptions made, and presumptions are also empirically then matched. So in fact, I'll show you a graphic from this research paper, which I take courtesy these three eminent researchers. If you see this graphic, you will see these bar charts. There's one bar chart for each country. So it tells you the fatality rate in that country. Now, one more thing with the bar chart is that the darker the color of the bar, the poorer the country. The lighter the color of the bar, richer the country. Then you see which bars are the longest, which bars are the smallest. And that once again tells the story. So they arrive at certain findings. They say it is perplexing that there is a positive correlation, positive is bad, positive correlation with better sanitation. But then they say that immune training means that these are populations which in the past have been exposed to bacterial, viral and parasitic infections. Now, parasitic infections are mostly out in the developed world. And these can be malaria, tuberculosis, typhoid, schistosomiasis, which are quite endemic in many parts, say, of India as well, particularly Bihar, Eastern UP, etc., etc. And that is what is getting our immune systems alerted. Then they say that there is a lot of talk about BCG vaccination having helped contain the severity of the disease or fatalities. So they say we don't find a direct relationship between BCG vaccination and COVID fatalities. That is a direct correlation. But there is a direct correlation between BCG vaccine and the history of autoimmune disease. So populations which have BCG vaccines, those populations are again trained, their immune systems are trained to deal with infections a bit better. So they have fewer incidences of autoimmune disease. So the relationship between a history of autoimmune disease and death by COVID is much higher. And autoimmune disease, we had just listed to you, richer societies tend to have more of those, and that might be the key factor. So the disease they list, which have a direct correlation, again a positive correlation with COVID deaths, positive is bad, is multiple sclerosis, type 1 diabetes, rheumatic arthritis, psoriasis, and there is a weak correlation of asthma as well, which is also autoimmune. So in conclusion, this study says that it seems that immune training, which right now we have got sort of serendipitously because of chronic exposure to disease, that helps contain fatality from a pandemic like this. So maybe there are answers coming out of this for what can be done in the future. They also say that severe immune reaction takes place more in populations with poorer immune training and better sanitation. So this is a fascinating set of findings. It's Indian research, so I thought I'd share with you in some more detail. Later in the week, I will also be recording an off-the-cuff with Dr. Mande, and you will see that next week on our YouTube channel in full, so you can watch that also. But before I let you go away, and I know tomorrow you'll be celebrating New Year's Eve, let me tell you one thing. Don't fall into the temptation of partying and stuff like that. There will be a New Year's Eve next year also. You want to be alive then. Because however low the fatality rates in India are, 1.5 lakh Indians have already died at least, which is not a good thing at all. You don't want to be, nobody wants to be in that statistic, or nobody wants their parents or their families to be in that statistic. So don't lose your sense of proportion and don't give up caution just now at the last mile. Because the vaccines are coming. We started today's episode by saying that vaccines are here. And now there's a new vaccine approved, of which a lot more numbers are going to be available in India as well. It will be made in India. So it's a matter of weeks before we start getting vaccinated and feeling more secure. So as I conclude this, all I can do is I can read out an Urdu line from the past, from 18th century shayar called Qayyum Chandpuri. And it's a line that we hear very often in our Hindi, everyday baatcheet ki Hindi. It says, Kismat ki khubi dekhiye ke tooti kahan kamand, do chaar haath jab ke labe baam reh gaya. So what is kamand? Kamand is a harness. So when you climb onto a roof or a terrace or a parapet, then you throw a rope there and tie a harness around you and then pull yourself up like that, or somebody pulls you up. That is kamand. So it says, look at my fate. When did my harness break? It broke just when I was about a yard or two away from the top of the terrace that I was going to grab. So don't let that happen to you. You have the harness around you. Your harness is the mask, your sanitation, social distancing. And soon enough will come the terrace that you're trying to climb, or parapet you're trying to climb, or the mountain you're trying to climb. And that will be the vaccine. So don't let this harness break when it's just about a couple of yards away.